Hello, everyone. How are you? It's a new week. It's a whole new week. I hope you all had a great weekend and you've had a good start to your week. I know this week, it slowly has started for me. I woke up this morning and I really don't drink coffee unless I'm really working or I really need it this morning. Yeah, it's needed. And that's how you get to, honestly, can you tell I'm an East Coast person? Look at me. I come to California where there's great coffee and I order Dunkin' Donuts because I wanted a little comfort of home this morning. I'm not even going to lie. I wanted to feel like I was home. And there's Jamie Hilfiger, our guest, right in just like that. I was just talking about my comforts of home and how this morning I couldn't get myself motivated. So I needed East Coast coffee to get me going. What's one of your comforts that you go to?
DD. Oh my gosh. I was just talking with it about it with my friend today.
Sorry.
I didn't know that they had it out in California.
I didn't either. And it's been, I put it in Grubhub and I haven't looked back since. I found it once and that was all I needed to find.
I love Dunkin' Donuts. Comfort is definitely like sweets for me. I'm not a coffee person, but I love like cookies and cakes and donuts and baked goods. Like whenever I'm like feeling down, I'm like, I need like a nice pastry or something. Like
it's so true, especially as I get older. I'm like, I don't even need like a glass of wine. I want like a pastry, like treat at the end of the day. It gives you something to look forward to.
It really does.
But speaking of the East Coast, you've spent a ton of time there. You've lived there. We've both lived there. Tell me what the East Coast means to you, because I know what it means to me.
I am just an East Coast girl. Like I loved my time when I was living out in California and Hollywood. I was like loving it. Like the weather is amazing. The food is like just to die for. But just being like on the East Coast, specifically being back in New York, just has a really special place in my heart. Even when I was down in Miami, because I lived like from New York to Miami, and I just knew that I wanted like my daughter who's three to be like a New York girl. Like I had a problem, like I had her when I was in Miami Beach. Like she was born on the beach, not on the beach, but you know, at a hospital on the beach. And I had like a bad feeling in my heart. I said, I wish that she was like a true like New York girl.
Yeah, there's something, I don't know, growing up in the East Coast for me, it's just a different vibe. The West Coast is great. I've been coming out here for 15 years. I love it. It's awesome. But it's just a whole other vibe. And when you grow up on the East Coast, you're used to that like fast pace. Everything's moving all the time. And when you come out here, it's like, the brakes are hit. And it's like, for me, in the beginning of my career, it was like everybody wanted to do lunch. And that was so, I was like, why did all these people want to eat lunch with me? Like, I didn't understand it. Because in New York, it was like, you went to an audition, either you got it or you didn't. And like, that was it. You kept it moving. Like out here, there's more like gray area in between, I'd say, for like, if we don't work together on this, well, maybe we'll work together on that.
Maybe we'll write together. Maybe we'll do something creative together. Like, it's like, in New York, it's like, peace, I will never see you again. Like,
it's so true. It's so true. So tell me, where did you grow up in New York?
I grew up in the Hudson Valley around West Point, the military academy. Sure. So about 50 miles north of Manhattan. So not upstate. You know, everyone's like, oh, upstate. It's like, no, I don't live in Rochester. I don't live in Buffalo. I live like a train ride away, like a Metro North. You're like Long Island Railroad girl. I'm like a Metro North girl. Okay. So I'm like, I'm just, you know, like a Metro North ride away from, you know, Midtown, basically. It's a beautiful place to like live. There's like beautiful like scenery and a lot of like history took place here with like the Revolutionary War because the town is right on the Hudson River.
Sure.
So a lot of like Washington's headquarters are here and there's just a lot of like really cool history in this town.
That's awesome. That's how I felt about my town growing up. I grew up in Great Neck and it's mostly known for being the town where the Great Gatsby is based out of. Like the Gatsby estate is there and everybody, you know, everybody knows the Great Gatsby. So that's kind of like growing up, that was, hey, have you ever heard of the Great Gatsby? Yeah, that's right. But it was a fun time in my life. What was high school like for you? Because for me, it was a mixture of, I found myself, like I found my true calling, what I really wanted to do. But at the same time, it was an intense time now that I look back for it, you know, at it. And it just, it was definitely a challenging time for sure. What was it like for you?
I agree with you. Like now that I look back on it, it was intense. And now that I look back on it, I think about like, I'm really like, wow, like you handled that really well, Jamie, like for being like a 14 to 17 year old. Let's just say this, I wouldn't go back to high school. I would definitely go back to college, but high school, like you said, it was intense. I definitely didn't find myself. Like you said, I went to, a very strict private Catholic, high school. It was the only one in the county. So people from all over my county went there, and it was, very like, you know, like you see on TV, very snotty. They were very clicky. The people that were very popular had like older siblings there, and I, you know, I didn't. And yeah, it wasn't the best experience.
Yeah, high school's, middle school and high school, like that whole period of your life where you're like growing up and you're not quite a kid anymore, and you're, yeah, it's tough. And like we were talking about the East Coast, you just grow up a little quicker. So it's like, yeah, everything, oh, like figure out what you want to do, go to a good college, get a job, start your life. You know, it's, yeah, it's a lot. And I give so much credit to the kids nowadays who like,
I do too.
You know, with social media and everything, like taking such a presence in their lives, and like they're under so much scrutiny and so much pressure from society. I can't imagine what it's like to be a kid nowadays. I know what, right, it's like to be a 32-year-old and it's intense.
I feel you on that. I know. I can't really imagine either. Like when I was in college, maybe my freshman year, that's when Facebook first came out. But I can't imagine now with all the like Insta things like Snapchat and Instagram, things that are so like photo heavy, you know, it's like, I can't even imagine. Like I was in a sorority in college, and like there was a big rule. It's like a national rule for all sororities that you could never wear your letters on any like media. Like you can't like wear them on TV if you're on a talk show, or even if you're going to sit in the audience somewhere. And I think now like that has all changed, you know, because like they cannot stop that. And now each chapter has its own social media. And like, I find myself sometimes like looking at their accounts, and like, they're like these professional pictures that are posted on like their social media pictures, and, or their social media accounts rather. And it's just like crazy. I couldn't imagine. Like, I feel like they're always doing like photo shoots, like the best lighting, like who has this camera? Like, what are you?
Look, I didn't learn about lighting and all of that. So I had to like on the set. So it's, yeah. Like back then you just, in our day, you just snapped the selfie and that was it. Kept it right. Working. But now it's a whole production. Like I have seen people out there, like, you know, when people were out and about before COVID, like full on production, like full on team. I'm like, first of all, who has the kind of funds to be doing this?
I know. That's why I see like these like kid YouTubers, and like everything's like edited. Like, how do they even do this? Like,
it's so professional. It's wild. But you went to college down in Florida. And yes. Can you tell me what that experience was like? Because you had a really positive from the last time we spoke. This is also a really good time to tell you guys that the last time Jamie and I spoke, your friend over here didn't press record on Zoom because I just updated it. So now Jamie and I are doing a second episode and we're here. But yeah, I pressed record today. So that's, we're already ahead of the game, Jamie.
Yes. I loved our first conversation too. I thought it went fabulously.
It was a good rehearsal.
It was. College for me was amazing. I was so happy to go to school like down south, because like even being like a New Yorker at heart, like just to go back, like I said, my high school was very tough. So to go to like a state university in Florida, I went to the University of Central Florida, just to go to like a big state state school that was all the things that like you see on TV about colleges, the football, the cheerleaders, the Greek life, like the huge campuses, like the dorm life. Like it was like everything that you would see and more even, because our campus was just so stunning. And it was just a great experience. That's where I definitely found myself. I definitely learned how to do a lot of things, like to be like an adult. And I found like great like friends that I'm still friends with to this day. And it was just like a really positive experience. Like I loved college.
And did you go to college for fashion?
I went to college for media. Like I had dreams to be like an on-camera red carpet reporter. Like, Nikki, tell me who you're wearing tonight. But my school had very strict and a hard program to get into for like hard news. And I was able to get into that program. But once I was in the program, I kind of like, you know, I passed through it and stuff. And that's what I got my 4-year degree in. But I found out that that really wasn't something that I wanted to do. Like the hard news life wasn't for me. And now like watching like all this news and stuff, and it's just so one-sided. And, you know, I'm so glad that I didn't get into that field. But just like the deadlines and it being everything being so crucial, and just it just wasn't for me. And I had some really like horrible teachers that like said like, oh, you don't have a good voice, like to be on camera and stuff, maybe you should try a different field. And because I do sound like very young, like when I was on Howard Stern show, I remember the first thing he said to me, he's like, you sound like a baby, but I love it.
You have such a sweet voice. You have such a nice, kind tone to your voice. That's what I remember from the first time speaking to you on our dry run a couple of weeks ago. You have just this kind aura and this sweet presence about you. So Howard, relax.
I mean, I loved his comment, but some of my like teachers in school, you know, like for broadcasting, they really weren't kind about it. And it, you know, it was hard for me to hear that, but I still like decided to like stay on that path and to finish basically, you know, with that field. But once I graduated, you know, I moved out to Hollywood, and I realized I did get a few like little like hosting gigs and stuff, but I realized that that really wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to be on the other side of the carpet.
Yeah, it's
because fun. As you know, that's a good side to be on.
It's addicting. I will be the first one to say it. Like, I haven't been on a red carpet, and it's been a year since there's been like any real red carpets. And it's just like, there's something about it, like, especially in New York, like when you're out and it's a night on the town, like, yeah, it's a blast. But you brought up something really important, and I love to just like touch on this for like younger listeners. You brought up teachers and how like what teachers can say is so incredibly important. And I had a teacher growing up in middle school that used to tell me, I'm not going to give you the lead in the school shows because you can't memorize lines. Just told me straight out, you can't do it. Not let's see if you, or let's put you to the test. Just told me I could never do it. And for me, I think my greatest thing was like, no, I'm going to show you I can do it. I'm not just going to do it either. I'm going to do it for my job. Like, you know, I really wanted to drive that home, but I really wanted to prove to myself that I could do it because I had had his voice in my head forever. And okay. Then thank goodness I met my mentor, you know, who was one of my teachers in school. And she was like, not only can you memorize lines, you're going to sing Carmen and you're going to play Carmen. And it was like, that for me, when she put me to the test and she trusted me with that material and a role of that magnitude, that says a lot to a kid, you know? And I think that can really help make you or break you in life, or it really sticks with you what people say, especially when you're young.
Definitely does. You're so right. And yeah, I always had that voice. I remember it was like a summer class and it was like, you know, like a male teacher. And it just like, I always had it in the back of my head and I was like, you know, and then once I was in Hollywood, I was walking the other side of the red carpet even. I was like, huh, I wonder what so-and-so thinks of me now, you know?
Yeah, it's always funny. It's always funny when you're like, I wonder what they think. Yeah.
Right.
But you know, you just do your own journey and hope that they've matured over the years and realize that what they say counts. And
it does.
You know, and but you are doing amazing things. So how did you get into fashion? Because I mean, I know the backstory, but we have to go back into it for everybody who wasn't on the call a couple weeks ago.
Right. Well, fashion, you know, like it's always been in me. I love it. I remember my first fashion show when I was like 9 years old. It was obviously, you know, like from my uncle Tommy Hilfiger. And it was even before like New York Fashion Week was really like a thing. I remember it was over even the summer, it was in August. Like I'll never forget it. And I just loved the thrill of like the fashion show. Like all this work goes into literally like at the max a 12-minute show. And it's like such in a flash of an eye, and you can't even take a picture, you can't even take a video, it's done. Like it's, but it's like months and months of preparation. And it was just so fun that once fashion shows, because this was in the 90s, this was in like the late 90s. So once fashion shows started to become like more of a thing, I would always like skip school to go to them. And, you know, like my parents would always pull me out of school to go to like, you know, the ones during the day, or if they were at night, they would get me out of school early. So we would drive into the city or take the Metro North girl. And I just always loved fashion. I love like styling. Even when I was like in high school, I would work with some of like the older girls who were going to like their proms and their formals, and I would style them. From like hair to makeup to shoes to accessories. And I just always loved that world. And as I grew older, I knew I wanted to be in the fashion industry somehow. I just didn't really know what capacity. So I started like fashion commenting on, you know, for big publications such as like Fox News Magazine and US Weekly and stuff like that. And, you know, someday I hope to have my own collection out. But the market, I feel like it's very like saturated now. So that's why I went into like my skincare and, you know, like my beauty line as well.
Well, I just got a package from you like, last week, and it is two of the most beautiful lip glosses I've seen. How did you cross over from wanting to be in fashion and, you know, loving fashion to saying, hey, I think skincare might be a really good avenue for me?
Well, like I said, I thought at the time that the market was like really like oversaturated with like celebrities and like big names doing like fashion lines. Like I remember like Fergie had a shoe line at Macy's, Carlos Santana had shoes, you know, and I don't know if these people still do, but I'm just saying like I was like—
I had one of Fergie's pocketbooks.
I remember being like—
He actually sent it to me.
And seeing like Carlos Santana on the sole of a shoe, I'm like, what?
I wore his shoes to the SAG Awards. I'm not kidding. My stylist, I was out looking for like silver pumps, and I found these Carlos Santanas, and I'm like, okay, they were great. I mean, but you know,
yeah.
Back I just then, I could walk in like, heels.
And I really didn't know what lane I wanted to go into fashion. I had some opportunities present itself for me to start, you know, with like a lingerie collection or loungewear or prom dresses. So I didn't really know. And I knew that when I wanted to make my splash, I really wanted to make it stick and be like lasting. So that's why I kind of just like took a back seat and became like a style commentator for, you know, high-end news sources and stuff. And then when I moved to Miami Beach, my skin just went like haywire. And like I said, I was doing a lot of like writing for like high-end companies. So a lot of lines, cosmetics, skincare, and shoe and fashion lines would contact me so I could like feature them or mention them and whatnot. And I was approached by one skincare company called La Curcio. And I just formed like a connection with the founder of the company. And I, you know, I confided in her one day and I said, you know what? I love your products. And because she had sent me the collection, I said, you know what? I love your products. But I am having a really bad skin condition ever since moving to Florida. I have like red bumps and I don't really know what it was. I saw a few like celebrity like skin doctors down in Florida, and you know, they told me it's rosacea, but I didn't really have, you know, like the red, you know, like right. In like the little broken capillaries. I had like bumps. And she explained to me that there are many types of rosacea, and I did in fact have type 2. So now that I knew that I had type 2 rosacea and I was working with this woman, we knew how to handle it. And all those prescription creams and the face washes and all those chemicals that I was given and prescribed, we threw out because they were just chemicals and just, they smelled bad. They cost a lot of money. And I mean, I was prescribed one like face wash that was like $432. And it smelled like rotten eggs. It was like sulfur or something. I'm like, what? So long story longer. I was gonna say long story short. I worked with La Curcio, and her products really saved my skin. The products that she had, they're all natural, they're vegan, they're cruelty-free, they're not tested on any animals. And we really took like a natural, clean routine and put it to my skin, and it did wonders. And I said, you know, I love your products. Like, you know, I've always been fascinated with skincare and just like products in general, like firming lotions that, you know, you should see my bathroom.
And oh, she said, here. It looks, forget it.
She said, would you ever want to do like a skincare collection, like a capsule line that would complement my signature line? And I said, oh my gosh, I would love it. So that's when my collection started. I think it was around 2015. And since then, we've launched about 4 or 5 different capsule collections. And in 2021, we launched the makeup line. And those are like the matte velvet lips that I sent you. They're like so vibrant. They stay on. They don't rub off on your mask, because now that's what you have to worry about.
It's so funny. It's wild now how like, you do a whole face of makeup, you get all ready, and then you put on a mask. And so it's like, only like take off the mask
matters. It has the foundation on it, and
it's gross. I know. But it's like nowadays, I don't know. It's like sometimes some of the conversations I have, I'm like, thank goodness people can't see my expression. Right. You know what I mean? You're like, thank goodness it's covered. What am I going to do when I have to take the mask off and everybody sees me again? But it's just, it's wild. I'm so amazed that you did this and you found what you're passionate about. And it's incredibly hard when something happens to your skin. I mean, I know even just like the aging process as a woman in today's society is so tough. I mean, because it's just, you see more and more products are introduced in different things, and it's just, you feel this like pressure, and you're just like, I just want to age and do my thing. And, you know, right. And it's incredibly hard when something happens to your skin, because this is your face. Like, this is what you go through.
Your first impression, exactly. Like to anything.
And it really can affect, like, for me, I know when I'm like having a bad breakout, or like if I'm stressed and like, you know, it all starts happening, it's like the first thing I break out, and then I feel really bad and insecure about it. You're like, well, I'm glad nobody can see it, but you know, it's tough. I always tend to break out here, and it's just, it's not fun. But I've definitely gotten into the serums and the potions, yes, and the lotion.
I know. I love it, but you're so right. There's so much pressure. And you really have to find like what really works for your skin type. That's really important. You have to know if you have combination, sensitive, you know, like flaky, dry, oily. And I never really knew what my skin type was until I moved to Florida. And one of the celebrity dermatologists that I went to said, you have the most sensitive skin I've ever seen in my life. And so now that's what I use. I said, my skin is sensitive, but it's the most sensitive skin that a dermatologist has ever seen. She's really right. Like, you touch my skin like once and it's like red for the next 12 hours. But, you know, that's the path I was given.
But you're helping so many people out there with this,
right,
who are having some of the same issues that you've had, that I've had. And it's essentially, at the end of the day, it's helping people and it's bringing them back and boosting their confidence. And that says a lot. And that's got to make you feel great at the end of the day.
It does. And like sometimes when like I'm at a store and I see someone that's having like a bad skin reaction or something, like I feel for them because I've been there. And I've been there going to photo shoots. I remember I shot a cover of one like South Florida publication that's like, you know, this publication was in every Whole Foods, every Publix, every like newsstand. And I was shooting the cover and I went there and I'm not gonna lie, my face looked like a pizza pie. It was red and bumpy. And of course there's like Photoshop, but you know, you also don't know like what photographer you're going to be faced with. You don't know if they're gonna be like skilled in Photoshop. And turns out this one didn't do that great.
Can I, and I will tell you after you finish the story, I will tell you exactly.
Yeah. And like the makeup artist, I just could tell like she just was like, it's not like she wasn't happy. I don't really know the words, but she was like, wow, like this is gonna be work. And like, I do have to say, like, I always give it like my 110% at photo shoots. And I always get such a great, like comments from this, from all the crew, like the stylists are like, oh my God, this shoot went great. Like I always get good remarks. So, you know, I made up for it there, but I could tell like when I walked on set, some people were a little shocked. I was having a really bad like breakout that day too. And that's right when I was moving to Florida, right when I was seeing like a couple dermatologists trying out this wash, trying out that cream. So I was in the mix of a bunch of a mess.
Photo shoots are just a wild experience to begin with, because all of a sudden you're just like tossed in, you're like the center of attention for an entire day and everything, yeah, all eyes are on you. It's a lot of pressure. I remember some of my first photo shoots. I will tell you, your friend over here did something very stupid the day before the cover. I was on the cover of a magazine and this was my first cover. Jamie, I was super pumped. I was excited. I was like 17, 18. I was going to do this big, big photo shoot on the top of a rooftop of a New York City building. I'm already excited. I'm a New York girl. I'm ready. I love it. Okay. The day before I was in LA, my mom and I were here and we decided to go to the beach. I decided to lay out and relax. I didn't put any sunscreen on. A woman came up to me on the beach. I had fallen asleep. She said, oh, sweetheart, you're getting really, really red. I said, I'm okay. I wasn't even paying attention. And I got so burnt that when I walked into this photo shoot, my stylist, everybody was like, and I was like, I know. They literally had to give me Tylenol for the pain and like paint me down because I was so red. And it made me feel, I felt like I was letting everybody down because, you know, literally, I was the main focus of the day. And it's tough when all that pressure is put upon you. It's a lot, especially.
It really is. And like you said, you kind of feel like you're letting everybody down. And it's like, don't worry, I could perform. But to this day, like the photographer must have not been that great with like Photoshop, because like I could tell like my skin's bumpy in the pictures. You know, it's not red because that was covered up by like the makeup, but you know, that shoot wasn't my best work.
And I have to ask you, you know, being in this business with family in the entertainment business or in the fashion business, as a mom now, because I'm not a mom, so I don't know, but as a mom now, what would you say? Would you let your daughter enter this world, this business, if she wanted to in the future?
I would. I definitely would. I would, because, you know, I was in the business and I know what to look out for. My parents weren't. My parents had, you know, yes, I have famous relatives that are in the business, but I was not given help from them or even, you know, even a single sentence of help or, you know, anything from any of them. So my parents were blind. So that's why as soon as I graduated from college, 20 years old, I was like, I'm moving out to Hollywood. Bye. And, you know, of course I made some mistakes, but luckily nothing horrible. Yeah. And of course I went to some shady castings, but noticed at the door, they were shady. And turn myself around, you know, didn't put my foot through the threshold, but was like, oh, wait, this wasn't supposed to be like this. I'm done out. So I would definitely let her if she wanted to go into this field, because I feel like I'm an expert now. You're the real expert, but I feel like I could totally like lead her and guide her in the right direction and there to answer any questions.
You know what? It's funny you say that, because even though my mom wasn't in this business, she just being, you know, just, I think so much wisdom comes with being a mother, and it's like, you know it, she knows it. Like, it's just so much common sense is applied when it comes to this business. Like, I may not have a degree, I may not have a college degree, but it's like what I've learned and all of that and being around so many people, I've just learned a lot. So it's like everything that my mom taught me as a kid, common sense wise, just applied. And it's like, she just figured it out along the way. Like, she figured out how to help me and how to, so that really helped me mature in this business and get somewhat of a grasp on it. But I'm still figuring it out every day as I go along. Right. Some things just make sense. And then other things I'm like, how did I get here? What's going on?
Yeah.
But you know, every day is a learning curve and it's an experience. And
yeah, like my mom especially was like, I have no idea about this business, so like, you're on your own. You know, like, she wasn't willing, because she also has, you know, she's also a career woman in her own path, and she doesn't have like the time. So she was just like, you're on your own. Like, I cannot even answer any question. And she wasn't like willing to learn, you know, and work with me, like I said, because she has her own career. So yeah, but I would love to help my daughter do it.
That's so sweet. And where do you see like your journey going in the next few years? Like, what do you want to do? And you know, where would you like to go with this?
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, I would love to expand my cosmetic line. The skincare side is, we have a wide variety of products from the La Curcio Signature Collection, and then my capsule collection. All of the pieces in my capsule collection kind of like complement, you know, like the signature line. So I feel that we're really well versed and there's a great variety on the skincare line, but I would love to, like, you know, really get into the cosmetic world, like foundations for like so many skin colors. You know, a lot of people that have like, you know, like a dark complexion always talk about like, I cannot find a dark enough shade. Well, you and I that have very fair skin, I can never really find a fair enough shade and something that's not like pinky. You know, if you go to like, you know, like the makeup counter at CVS, CoverGirl, Maybelline, you know, I'm just, you know, naming like companies that like, you know, people could definitely, you know, take. It's like all the fair shades are pinky. And it's like, I don't have pink skin, you know, it's like, so, you know, it's hard on a wide variety of skin colors. So I'd love to have like a really great, like color matched line for everybody that includes all color skins, from the lightest whiteies to the darkest, like, you know, beautiful, like velvet skin. So that's in the future for me. And then, like I said, I really would love to get into like fashion, to have my own lines, put my own name on stuff and do that rather than, you know, talk about like, oh, this and this and this from other lines. I'd love to like have my own.
I love that. You are setting such an amazing example for your daughter. Just letting you know.
Thank you.
You are an awesome, strong woman, Jamie Hilfiger. Where can we keep up with you?
Well, you guys could always keep up with me on all my social media platforms. I have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I have Snapchat, but I don't really use it that much.
Same here.
And my personal website, which is, you know, like jamiehilfiger.com. And for the products, it's lacursio.com, and that's where you could find me.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we got to have another chat.
Me too, and I'm so glad I pressed record this time.
It was definitely meant to be. I would love to have a third chat with you.
Anytime, I'll be here.
All right, thank you so much, Nikki. I love you. Bye.
Oh my gosh, she is so sweet and so beautiful, and she's setting such an awesome example for her daughter. You know, I'm not a mom, but I always find it incredibly inspiring when women just lead by example and are independent and, you know, showing younger girls that we can do anything. We can have a career. We can have, you can have it all, folks. Like, if you want something bad enough, you put the work in, you put the time in, and it can happen. Whether it's a career, a relationship, anything that you want to cultivate and manifest for yourself, it's possible. Oh, did you hear that? New York just come out in me, yourself. Anyway, I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed this chat with Jamie. I know I did. And I'm so glad I pressed record this time because we had so much fun chatting and talking. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Nikki Nights. You know me, it's Nikki, and I love you. So have a great weekend, and I'm sending you all so much love. Bye.